Yeah, so I'm going to talk to you about this reading that we just heard from the Gospel of Luke, this well-known parable. I'm sure we've all heard it lots of times before. So when I'm reading this story, studying the story, I think about the person comes to mind when I think of the tax collector is a guy named Brian Friesen, who was in grade five. He was a fellow student in grade five. I say to myself humorously, I find it humorous that he seemed to enjoy grade five so often that he just kept on staying there. So he was a little bit larger than the other kids, and he and his buddy, whose name I cannot remember right now, maybe I blocked it out of my mind, decided that it'd be fun for them to every day after school wash my face in the snow, as they put it. And it's something they did pretty regularly. It'll push me down the snow. Like they said, wash my face in it. And this is not very enjoyable to me. I went home and I didn't say anything, you know, because of the code, whatever that, you know, don't rat on other kids or something. But my mother finally persisted to what was wrong. And I finally broke the code of silence. And then my older brother, who was larger even than them, went down to the pool hall and made them an offer that they could not refuse. And so that was that. So years later, about 10 years later, I'd moved into the city, and my friend, my roommate, and I were coming out of a movie, The Exorcist of all things. And we came out, and there, coming to the movie as well, was Brian Friesen, of all people, who I hadn't seen years and years and years, and who was the last person that I wanted to see. But there he was, and he was very friendly, and we became friends after that. Starting that day, we became friends, and actually we became really good friends. Brian had not become a particularly virtuous person in the meantime. He was involved himself in small acts of crime since I had known him. But, and I, you know, I'm not claiming that I was particularly virtuous myself, but anyway, despite that, he was a good, I'm not suggesting you go and befriend people who are break-in entries, but he was a good friend to me. And the one thing that I could say about him is that he was not judgmental. He obviously had no reason, no basis to be judgmental, and would have been ridiculous if he had ever been so. And I think he even apologized to me. Maybe, I hope that's not just wishful thinking, but I think he did. The tax collector, the reason I think of this is the tax collector, we think tax collector, right? It's not what we mean by tax collector. Think of more someone like Tony Soprano. They're really thugs employed by the Roman state to collect money. You get a contract. The Roman state gives you a contract, and you're a Jew, but the Romans are oppressors. So but nonetheless, you're a Jew. You get a contract from the Romans, who are the enemy, and then you could just go squeeze every dime you can out of your fellow Jews. You know, the Romans only care if they get their cut. Whatever else you take is fine with them. So they're really small time hoodlums in a way. They're kind of, again, a little bit like, you know, low level mobsters. And so here, we see the tax collector in the temple. And there's a saying from the Desert Fathers. It goes like this: I have given up the very heavy and difficult work of self-justification and taken up the much easier work of self-criticism. And here the tax collector is, having taken up the much easier work of repentance in the temple. The Pharisee, though, has taken up the much more difficult work of self-justification. And I guess the thing that's very striking about the Pharisee to me is that he appears ridiculous in that he has been, you think about it, he's been granted, like all of us have, the supreme dignity and the supreme honor of having been created by the maker of the universe, being the crown of creation, being chosen to bear this the image of God itself, being given God's immeasurable love. God has bound himself to humanity just because he wants to, and especially as an Israelite, he's given him all this incredible honor of being the light that shines to the nations. But here he is in this story. He's not being a witness to the world. He's kind of being a witness to himself and expecting God to be his audience. So you can see him kind of preening in the Greek text of this. It literally says he goes off and he is praying with himself, which seems to imply a little bit of maybe even praying to himself. Maybe not talking to God so much as he's talking to himself and finding himself pretty delightful, kind of looking in the mirror and going, man, you look so good today, I got to tell you. And, you know, like I said, kind of a little bit of preening. And so Jesus, the thing is with these parables, as you know, is these aren't real people, right? He's not recording historical events, as every rabbi would at the time. He's making up stories to be edifying, and in Jesus' case, really to kind of agitate us and shake us up. So he's created this story, obviously, for a purpose, and that is, the Lord loves both the Pharisees and the tax collectors among us. But he says, let's agree to two things before we move on to anything else. The first thing is, let's agree not to appear ridiculous before God. You know what I mean? To stand before the maker of the universe, who's filled you with such incredible dignity and honor just because, then stand before him and say, hey, look at what I've done for myself. Are you impressed? It's ridiculous, right? He's meant to be ridiculous. And the second thing Jesus wants to say is, that's number one. Number two is, as one of the fathers says, if you wish to have peace in this age and in the age to come, judge no one. The Lord is calling us here in this, that's kind of the theme of our stewardship season here. And that is, the Lord is calling us to let our light shine. And I thank God, you know, I think of that and I think of this community. I thank God for the fact that, like my friend Brian, without the break and entries, I thank God that we have the gift of capacity for friendship, you know, in this parish. That humility goes without saying, I would say. And that we have, and in this parish, there's a lack of judgment. And when there's a lack of judgment, true friendship is possible. Is it, you think that's right? I think it's true. It's really possible to have true friendship when we feel like we're above other people. And more than anything else, that's not true in this parish. We have the capacity for real friendship. There's a lack of judgment in our community, and an awareness that everything we have, as the Reverend Joan Carson was saying at the beginning, is grace and mercy, which the world very desperately needs, right? It needs friendship. It needs lack of judgment. And it needs a sense that God is loving and merciful. And it needs this. It needs us to let people know that they have an inherent dignity, which has been given to us simply by being human, and above all, by God himself entering and taking on our human nature. To that extent, the Lord is saying, if you can't get that message, there's something wrong. The fact that I became human to become just like one of you, to become one of you, just to send you the message that I want to be with you. I do not want to be without you. During this period, as we're going through this, we're thinking about this image of shining our lights. Let's realize we have a light to shine here. Friendship, lack of judgment, expression of dignity, proclaiming God's mercy and grace. And again, something the world around us desperately needs, what we need ourselves, first of all. So let's strengthen our community to allow that light to shine here. Remind people we're made in the image of God. We don't need to impress him. He loves us. He loves us desperately. Let the light of God in the face of Christ Jesus shine through us. Amen.